no one. He guides me down the hall to Tyler's office. My favorite client, Tyler says as he greets me. I met Tyler back in the day when I was at RISD studying animation, and he was a history major at Brown. He's risen up quickly in entertainment law, and it's not only because he has a mentor in Clay. He's just really fucking good. I bet you say that to all your clients. He shoots me a grin. Only the ones who make me laugh. Then I've got a funny story for you, I say. Both men take seats on the couch. I grab the comfy chair, lean forward, take a breath, and give this the pregnant pause of ridiculousness it deserves. Gino wants me to make the show more wholesome. Tyler raises an eyebrow. The guy is the spitting image of his cousin, dark hair, brown eyes, square jawline. If I didn't know better, I'd think he was his younger brother. He's suited up, too. That's insane. You don't ask Seth MacFarlane to make American Dad less fucked up, Tyler says, stretching his long legs in front of him. Look, I'm not a prima donna. I'm all about giving the viewers what they want, but I just can't wrap my head around what he wants from me. Leave it to us. It's our job to figure out what he wants, and if that aligns with what you want, Tyler says, and for the next 30 minutes we dive into their plan for how they want to handle the renegotiation at the end of this month, less than 2 weeks away. It all sounds reasonable to me, and frankly, that's why I work with these guys. When we're done, I ask what they're up to tonight. Clay goes first. I have a date with my two favorite girls. My wife and daughter are meeting me at the playground in a few hours. This man, he says, patting his cousin's shoulder. He's trying to win back an old flame. Clay gives me a quick download on Tyler's romantic situation, and it's a tough one. Ouch, I say, shuddering and then meeting my lawyer's eyes. Good luck with that, buddy. Negotiating with Gino might be more fun. Tyler laughs and shakes his head. Believe you me, I know. What would Mr. Orgasm do to win her back? I stroke my stubbled jaw. Aside from sending in your place a rich, hot, successful, well-endowed cartoonist to win her over? Tyler narrows his dark eyes and shoots me a look. I flash him a smile. He'd probably just let her know how much she means to him, then make her feel like a queen. Truer words, Clay says. Then I say goodbye, leave their office, and head into the crisp air of a late fall afternoon in New York City. But as I slide into the next train downtown, I'm not thinking about Tyler's woman anymore. I'm thinking about the text Harper just sent me. Actually, thinking is the wrong word. Feeling is the only one that fits. As I open her new message and scroll through the pictures, I hit 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit in seconds. I sink onto the train's plastic seat, and my eyes are hostage to these images. Someone says, "Excuse me," as he walks past, and I barely pay attention. I can't look anyplace else. Not possible, not feasible. There's nothing else in the universe but these photos, and I can't wipe the naughty grin off my face. I'm cooked, roasted, and fried to a crisp. I'm seared all the way through. This text is the motherlode of Harper's fantasies. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but maybe that should be revised. A photo is worth 1,000 heartbeats, because that's what mine skipped looking at this insanely sexy series she sent me. The first shot is of a woman in black panties, which are tied with a tiny pink polka dot bow at the top of her ass. Her legs are smooth and sculpted. In the next one, a woman wears stockings with a vintage ruffled thing on the top of the thighs, and she's bending, unsnapping a garter belt, her rear in view. I rub my hand across the back of my neck and breathe out hard as the train rattles underground. It only gets hotter from there, and I'm already an inferno, baking in public transportation, surrounded by guys in suits and moms with toddlers, by hipsters and tourists, by anyone and everyone. And I don't care. Because these photos are all I see. The shot that follows has a woman on her back, spread out across the bed, naked, her lips in an O, while the guy she's with devours her pussy with his mouth. His hands are curled around her ass, squeezing it, as he buries his face between her legs. She is in some kind of wild bliss. But the next woman is in unholy heaven. She stands in nothing but heels, bent over a kitchen counter, and her lover kneels, spreading her cheeks open and licking her pussy, his fingers digging into the flesh of her rear as he laps her up. I close the text and shut my eyes, soaking in what Harper has just told me without words. In these pictures, I've just learned she has a total ass fixation. This might be a new dividing line in my life. There's no way I can go back to not knowing this insanely arousing penchant of hers. I can't return to a time in my life when I didn't think about what it would be like to do this to her. To this woman who's bold enough to tell me she doesn't know what men want, and also bold enough to show me what she wants. And what I want, truly, madly, deeply. I barely know how I'm going to make it through dinner with Harper and her brother tomorrow. Then, my heart sinks as the train arrives at my stop with a jolt. She's seeing Jason this week, and she hasn't asked me one question or told me a single thing about how she's feeling about him, if she's starting to like him, or whether she's sending him photos too, or if I'm just the warm-up act to the date she really wants. On that note, my fingers curl around the screen, and I nearly crush it. Chapter 14. Harper is late, and I'm not pissed. I'm not irritated. I'm not annoyed. I'm just enjoying this India Pale Ale at Spencer and Charlotte's favorite pub in the village, not far from their home, and listening to Charlotte chatter about their wedding. And the florist, get this, his name is Bud Rose, she says, her eyes all lit up and lively. And do his roses bud, I ask, since I can't resist. I'm not even having roses. I was going to have cornflower bouquets, she says, then places a hand on Spencer's arm. She tilts her head to look at him. Did I ever tell you that, Snuffleupagus? Every now and then they call each other that, and I've never asked why, nor do I want to know. No, you didn't tell me. Tell me now, Spencer says, his eyes totally fixed on her. Damn, he is hooked, lined, and sinkered with Charlotte. But then, he's marrying her, so that's how it should be. In medieval days, it was believed that a girl who placed a cornflower beneath her skirt could have any bachelor she desired, she says, with a glint in her eyes just for Spencer. And I got the one I desired. Yes, you did, he says, then moves in to kiss her. The kiss goes on much longer than it should. I look at my watch. I check out the black and white photographs of old trucks on country roads on the walls. I study the menu. When I'm done, their lips are still fused and show no signs of separating. It started already? I straighten at the sound of Harper's voice. She's here, finally, pulling out the chair next to me. This is the first time I've seen her in days, and she looks edible. She's wearing a red sweater with tiny black buttons down the front and some kind of lacy black camisole thing under it. Her hair is down, long and silky, falling over her shoulders. I haven't talked to her since I sent my response to those photos yesterday. I told her my phone had exploded from the hotness, and that was the last I'd heard from her. I'd forced myself to go cold turkey after that. I can't keep rappelling down the cliff face of this untamed desire for her. I've got to reel it back in, stuff it into a trunk, lock it up, and then toss the motherfucker to the bottom of the ocean. That's the only way I can make it through this dinner and the wedding events this weekend, let alone help her learn the ways of being single in the city without wanting to simultaneously jump on her and throttle every guy she likes. I swallow and shrug casually. Yeah, by all accounts, it'll be this way for the next. I pause to stare at the ceiling. 5 to 10 years. She smiles back at me, and at last her brother and his fiancée break their lip lock. Please, don't stop on account of us, Harper says. I've got a lot of catching up to do with Nick, so you two should continue competing for the Newlywed Smooch of the Year award. Hey, we've got 2 more nights till we're newlyweds. Spencer points out, then he stands up and hugs his sister, and in a softer voice says, "So good to see you." In the span of those five words, my chest pinches and a knot of guilt burrows inside of me. Sure, technically, I have the moral high ground since I've never officially touched his sister. I've never crossed a real line. But the guy loves her like crazy, and I can't be encouraging her to send me photos of stockings and bows begging to be untied and stop. I just have to stop, even if those bows can bring a grown man to his knees. After Harper hugs Charlotte, she gives me the briefest, friendly embrace. I catch the faint whiff of oranges in her hair, and the scent of citrus is a new form of torture because it stirs up the memory of that 15-second kiss outside her apartment. I've got to stay strong. Must fight off this lust. It's pinning me to the ground, wrestling me, trying to make me succumb. I hate to do this. I truly fucking do. But I call up the image of Gino tracking me down in the hall, and yep, that solves the problem. It's like lust be gone spray. Harper settles back in the chair next to me. Sorry I'm late, she says to everyone. I had a dinner tomorrow night that I rescheduled to drinks tonight, so I had to squeeze it in before this. I grit my teeth. Fucking Jason. But wait, I remind myself that I don't care about Jason. He's in the trunk at the bottom of the ocean. I don't ask why she moved the dinner to drinks. I don't ask how it went. I'm not going to ask at all if she kissed him. Because I don't care. How was it? Charlotte asks sweetly. I want to reach across the table and stuff the question back into her mouth. She doesn't care either. No one cares. It was fine. Harper answers with a sweet smile, and the waitress arrives, inquiring if she wants a drink. After Harper orders a glass of wine, the women return to discussing wedding flowers, and Spencer and I get caught up in a debate about beer. Misplaced desire, the trunk in the ocean, and bows on panties have all vacated the premises. Sometime after dinner arrives, Charlotte gets that excited look in her eyes, waves her hands, and points at me. Oh my God, I saw that Jay's book just came out this week. I have it on my Kindle. Harper's eyes widen, and she looks at me. Jay? Shit. I had no clue that book was coming out now. How the hell do women know these things? Charlotte nods at Harper and explains helpfully. Jay Cameron, she writes these crazy hot romance novels. She and Nick used to be together. I would hardly say we were together. I try to downplay it. Spencer fake coughs. If by hardly together you mean you were her muse and inspiration, then sure. He stops to draw air quotes. Hardly together works. You were Jay Cameron's muse? Harper asks, latching on to the name I've never revealed to her before. Her books are wildly popular. I shake my head. No, I was not her muse. Spencer guffaws under his breath. Yeah, right. Charlotte takes over the reins. She's so talented and so gorgeous. But you're definitely not still with her, right? No, it's over. It's been over for months, I say, suddenly feeling backed into a corner. Good, Charlotte says, smiling conspiratorially. Because I can't wait to introduce you officially to my sister this weekend. She's going to adore you. How could she not? You're so handsome, Nick. Isn't he handsome, Spencer? She asks, nudging Spencer. He gags. If by handsome you mean, Charlotte darts out her arm and covers his mouth with her hand. Natalie will like Nick, don't you think, Harper? Spencer pretends to chew on Charlotte's palm. Sure, Harper says, nonchalant. How could she not? He's kind of insanely hot, isn't he? Charlotte asks, staring at Harper and waiting for an answer. Harper parts her lips to speak when Spencer bites down on Charlotte's hand. Ouch! She swats his shoulder and giggles, and the two of them kiss once more. Harper never answers. I don't hear from her after dinner either, nor do I write to her. Chapter 15. On Friday afternoon, I pack a bag and head to Grand Central to meet my parents, as well as Wyatt and Josie and Harper, so we can all catch a train to New Haven for the wedding. A new strain of guilt rushes through me as I walk through the terminal. Guilt over ignoring Harper's efforts to figure out Min because of my own jealousy. I've dropped the ball on her project, and I feel like a complete jerk for doing so. After I drew on her arm, everything became all about me and my ravenous appetite to learn all her likes and dislikes. I'm not sure I'll be able to chat with her on the train, so I tap out a quick text as I near the big gold clock inside the station. How was the date with Jason? Any questions? Anything I can help you with? Her reply is immediate. You were wrong about the second date. My jaw clenches as I head onto the platform, and I'm tempted to ask, how wrong? I push my bag higher on my shoulder and step onto the silver train bound for the next state, scanning the crowd for my family. My phone dings, and I dread whatever's coming next. She's going to tell me her second date was amazing and that she's got it bad for him now. He didn't even try to kiss me. A weight lifts from my shoulders. I'm pretty sure I might even be able to fly right now. I look up from my phone as a skinny man pushes past me, and I spot my parents. My mom waves from a pair of seats. My dad is next to her, with Wyatt a few rows away since it's hard to grab seats together on a Friday. Josie is here too, her pink-streaked hair twisted on top of her head and held in place with what looks like a chopstick. She beams when she sees me. I give my mom and sister each a kiss on the cheek and say hi to my dad, then turn abruptly when Harper says, "Hey." She's across from them, and she pats the seat next to her. I toss my bag in the overhead and take the seat. "He didn't even try," I repeat in a low whisper, so only she can hear. She shakes her head, a bright smile on her face. "Nope. He's very sweet, but I'm glad he didn't. I didn't want to kiss him." I can't help it. That just makes me happy. Then I'm ridiculously happy when she adds, "And I told him that while I enjoyed chatting with him, I didn't see it going further." "You said that?" I ask, fighting back a grin, even though I like that she was direct and honest with him, and I love that he's out of the picture. "I did," she says. "I still don't get that crazy fluttering feeling in my chest with him, and I don't think I will. Best not to lead him on, right?" I nod as my thoughts slip-slide in a thousand directions. I want to say so much, but I narrow in on my role with her. "So how am I supposed to help you figure out how to date?" She shrugs. "I don't know. I don't want to talk about other guys right now." "What do you want to talk about?" I ask in a low voice, my heart racing, my skin heating up just from being near her. She holds up her phone and taps on the screen. "This," she says, pointing to our thread of messages. "What about that? Didn't you like the pictures I sent you?" she whispers. My jaw drops. "Are you kidding me? I love them." "You hardly said anything," she says, and there's the tiniest bit of hurt in her voice. "You only sent one reply." Oh, shit. I fucked up. She opened up to me with the photos, and I shut her down because of my stupid jealousy. Those pictures should have been the start of a new hot text conversation, not the end. "I'm sorry," I say, speaking honestly. "I should have written again." I drop my voice further. "But they sent all the blood rushing every place else but my brain." That makes her smile. "I just wanted to hear back, to know you wanted more." I raise my face, meeting her eyes. They look the way they did when I showed her the drawing on her arm in the coffee shop. Hungry, ready, wanting. The same as mine, I'm sure, so I say the next thing, the thing that sets me on fire. "I want so much more." She licks her lips, and they start to form what sounds like a feathery, "me too." But it's cut off abruptly when Josie pops out of her seat, nudges my elbow, and tells me to switch with her. "You've monopolized Harper long enough. My turn," she says, with a smile that shows her dimples. Josie is close in age to Harper, and they spend the whole ride to Connecticut catching up. Wyatt becomes my traveling companion for the next 2 hours. When we reach the hotel, we all check in together, Harper going right after me, and then we scatter to hotel rooms on different floors. At the rehearsal dinner, Harper is consumed with family and is then commandeered by her friend Jen for a drink. I play pool with my brother and proceed to clobber him, and that victory marks the end and highlight of my night. I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss the bride. I smile for the happy couple from my spot near the groom, and Harper beams from across from me. Her dress is sleek, simple, and royal blue. It lands at her calves and shows off her shoulders and makes her hair look fucking amazing. Those red locks are piled high on her head, and loose tendrils fall by her face. As the newlyweds walk down the aisle and through the guests in the huge room overlooking the hotel grounds, Charlotte's sister wipes a tear from her eye and clutches her bouquet. I talked to Natalie at the rehearsal dinner last night, and she's whip-smart and fun. She's blonde, like Charlotte, with big blue eyes and legs that go on forever. I guess I should get to know her more, but after the bride and groom kiss, we're all pulled into various wedding photos and festivities, so there's no time to talk. Later on, the dancing begins, and once Spencer and Charlotte have their first dance, the DJ spins some faster tunes. Harper and her friend Jen take to the floor while Wyatt and I watch from the open bar, and then Natalie joins the women. A slow song comes on, and the women separate. Natalie weaves her way to my brother and me. Wyatt taps his chest. She wants me. Harper and Jen head for the ladies' room, and I can't resist the chance to beat Wyatt, so I speak first. Want to dance, Natalie? Sounds great. I offer her my hand and lead her out on the dance floor, then proceed to slow dance in the most chaste way possible, with as much distance between us as I can manage. I hear my sister wanted to set us up, Natalie says with a quirk in her lips. Yes, she did. She's got hearts in her eyes these days, Natalie adds, but there isn't any flirting in her tone, just amusement. I should be disappointed. I'm not. No surprise there, I say, as we move in a small circle, my hands on her waist, hers on my shoulders, our bodies many inches apart. I wonder if she feels it too, this lack of attraction. It's not because she isn't pretty. It's not because she isn't smart. It's just one of those things. The spark is either there or it isn't. Natalie and I don't spark. She parts her lips to say something when I feel a tap on my shoulder. May I cut in? Like someone grabbed the remote and changed the channel mid-scene, my pulse speeds up. Be my guest, Natalie says with a smile, and then Harper's in my arms, and without a second thought, there's barely any distance between us. My fingers curl over her hip bones, and her hands wrap around my shoulders. Everything sparks. She's so much closer than Natalie was. A few more centimeters and our chests would touch. A little more, and we'd be dancing cheek to cheek. More than that, and we'd be arrested for public indecency. Is this the obligatory best man bridesmaid dance? I ask playfully. Wouldn't a maid of honor best man dance be more obligatory? We sway, moving the slightest bit. You stop that from happening, I say, nodding in the direction of Natalie's exit. Did you sense I needed you to perform your patented swoop in and save? She laughs lightly. She didn't seem your type, she whispers. Too young. Why do you keep saying, but she shushes me and tips her head to the right. Wyatt is already dancing with Natalie. Maybe I just felt bad for your brother. I could tell he had eyes for her, and I'd feel terrible if you beat him out. Poor Wyatt, always second best to his big brother. I laugh and shake my head. We've never fought over girls. Everything else, though. She shrugs, and as her shoulder juts up, I wrap my fingers more tightly around her hip, brushing against the bone. Her breath catches, and these are the moments that turn my world with her into a bumper car ride. I don't ever know if we're coming or going. We smash into each other, then we bounce apart, and then we're right back like this. Bows, skipped breaths, and glossy eyes. That's how hers look right now. This very second they shine with desire, as if she's showing me how she pulls off a trick, as if she's revealing her truth. Besides, she says, low and soft, maybe I felt territorial. My lips curve up in a grin, and my heart pounds wildly. Territorial is my new favorite word. Did you? I ask as we turn in a lazy circle. Somewhere nearby is my best friend, and I don't care. Because this woman is in my arms. She is all I see, all I hear, all I smell. The need to be closer to her consumes me, blotting out everything else. Most of all, the reason to stay away. Her hand moves closer to my neck, and she fiddles with the collar on my shirt. Your tux looks good, she says, breathless, and as much as I like that, I also hear what she doesn't say. You look good. There's a difference between the two, a big difference. Spots of light play over the hardwood floor as the song slides to the end. So does your dress, I say, as I roam my eyes over her clothes, then back up to her face. Then I show her how it's done. She asked me to teach her. This I can do honestly, compliment her the way she should be complimented. With my eyes locked on hers, I say, and you look gorgeous, Harper. Her chest rises and falls against my own, and I stare at her mouth as her lips part, as if she's taking her time to say something. Then she does, and the words topple out in a nervous mess, but still they're fucking perfect, as she says, you look so hot. That's all I can take. The sliver of space between us is thick with lust. It's strung tight with desire, and I'm confident for the first time it's not a one-way street. Her eyes are clear and focused on me. Only me. And even if she's not good at reading men, she has to know what's happening with us. I'm done fighting this. This is all I can take. I burn for her, everywhere. My hands, my chest, my skin. I want this girl so much. My fingers inch across her collarbone, and I run them over a loose curl of her hair. I move closer, dip my head toward her ear. Do you want to get out of here? A fork clinks on a glass. Spencer's father clears his throat. Thank you all for coming. As if we've been electrocuted, we wrench apart, and it's painful. Completely, utterly painful. Especially since I'm not sure this erection is ever going away. But as I zero in on the face of the father of the woman I want underneath me... Yep. Done. Gone. Instant boner killer. Whew. He toasts, and then I toast, and then the bride and groom share the cake my mom made, and at some point my phone buzzes lightly in my pocket. I slip away from the crowd to look at her one-word reply, zoning in only on three beautiful letters. Yes. Chapter 16. I pace in the brightly lit hall outside the reception, waiting for her to slip out too. But 2, 3, 4 minutes after her text, and there's still no sign of the girl in the blue dress. I weigh my options. Head back into the reception to look for her like Captain Obvious? Send her a text asking what's up like a pushy dick, or make my way to the bar like cool and casual guy? Before I settle on the no-brainer of scotch, the text message light blinks. Trapped by a very tipsy Jen, give me a few minutes. Meet me in a dark stairwell, vending machine on second floor, library, underneath a tree on the grounds. I smile. So very Harper. And I'm going to be so very me, now. Room 302. Once I'm inside my room, my bow tie is undone, along with the top two buttons on my shirt. I toss my jacket on the bed, kick off my shoes, and flop down on the mattress. I grab the remote. No time like the present to find out what's on the tube on a Saturday night. Clicking through the hotel menu, I learn that not only can I watch a ton of reruns, a plethora of cooking shows, and a host of filthy movies, I can also order my continental breakfast for tomorrow, plan a spa day, or take a tour of the hotel grounds on the interactive map. Wow. That sounds immensely fascinating. Not sure I can contain my excitement at the mere suggestion of a TV screen tour of the hotel. I manage, though, stabbing the off button, then checking my phone. That killed 10 minutes, but there's still no text from Harper. Flicking through some apps, I manage to carve another 5 minutes out of my night before I peek again at the texts. That's when I see the unsent status on my last note. Oh shit. I sit up, scrambling to resend the note that didn't go through for whatever reason. But before I can even click, there's a knock on my door. When I cross the few feet to open it, I find Harper in her blue dress, her hair half down, and one hand behind her back. She wastes no time. My zipper is stuck, and you never told me where you wanted to meet, but I remembered your floor from when we checked in, and I knocked on a few doors, taking a chance, and someone down the hall asked if I had the chocolate-covered strawberries they ordered, and obviously I don't, but they sounded really good, and well, here I am, thinking about strawberries and hunting for your room while my zipper is stuck. A grin tugs at my mouth at everything she just said, but I key in on the last one. Your zipper's stuck? She turns around and shows me, and it's a tangled, mangled mess, caught in the red strands of her hair. I grab her arm, pull her into my room, and guide her to the edge of the bed. Sitting her down, I appraise the zipper. Your hair is in the zipper. I know, she says with a huff, then softer. Can you fix it? Yes. She breathes with a sigh of relief. What did you do to make this happen? I push some of the loose hair off her back. The dress has two slim straps, and her shoulders are exposed. Her skin is pale, and I want to kiss it. I was in my room, she says, as I start working on the zipper, gently tugging a few strands from the teeth. I thought Jen corralled you. She did, but then I escaped. And I didn't hear back from you right away, so I went to my room to change into something else and let my hair down, and when I started to take off the dress, my hair got stuck and this happened. My message didn't go through, but I had texted you my room number, I say, as I free more pieces of her hair. You did? She asks, and I can hear a smile in her voice. Yes, when you sent me your list of meeting places. I found you anyway. I wanted to find you, she says. And I freeze, my hands stilling on her zipper. Find me. That's what I've wanted from her. For the light bulb to go off, and for Harper to see I'm the one she wants. You're a good detective. I'll get you those chocolate-covered strawberries if you want, I tease. I don't want that right now. I want something else. What do you want? I ask as I resume my work. Practically holding my breath with the hope that she wants the same thing I do. I want the night with you not to end. Chapter 17. She came looking for me, and her hair is stuck in her zipper. I've got to focus on part two of that first. I wiggle the zipper one way, then the other, then back again, until at last her hair is free, and the zipper is undone. I don't unzip it. Not yet. Instead, I sweep all her hair off her back. Your zipper is fixed, I tell her, as I press my fingertips against her bare shoulder. Your hands, she murmurs. You have good hands. You know what to do with them. I do know what to do with them, and what I want to do with them, I say, as my fingers travel to the edge of her shoulder. Even this small touch turns me on like crazy. And I want to touch you so fucking much. Oh God, please touch me. The words spill out of her in a breathless rush. Everywhere there are sparks, just everywhere, lighting up my skin, spreading inside me like wildfire. I run my left hand down her arm. The little hairs on her arm stand on end as I trace her soft skin, my fingers heading for her wrist. I lay my hand on top of hers, and she opens her fingers. I slide mine between hers, and she gasps. That sound ignites me, makes me want to never stop touching her. I clasp her hand, and it feels erotic and romantic at the same time, and I've never in my life enjoyed holding hands this much. It's as if every cell of hers reaches for me, and every nerve inside me blazes for her. I have never felt so sure that a feeling is mutual before. Never. She wraps her fingers tightly around me, and I'm pretty much done. I brush my lips against the back of her neck, and my mind goes hazy with desire. "Oh," she says, a gentle moan. She tastes so fucking good. With my free hand, I thread my fingers in her soft, silky hair and skim my nose across her neck, inhaling her, letting her scent wash over me, like the best drug. She doesn't smell like springtime. She reminds me of honey and oranges and all my fantasies. I nip her neck, flicking my tongue over her flesh. The need to kiss her everywhere builds. Her shoulders rise and fall, her breathing grows fast, and her fingers grip me harder. I layer kisses all over the back of her neck, drawing out moans and gasps and sighs that drive me crazy. They tell me how much she's into this, how much more she wants. I've been dying to kiss her lips, to feel her body mold to me. Now, here she is, alone in my hotel room, and she came for me, and that staggers me. It's everything I wanted and refused to believe would happen. Harper.
Yes?
It sounds like she's dreaming. What would you do if I kissed you right now? I ask, not because I'm unsure, not because I'm worried she doesn't want it, but because she likes to talk about kissing, I've learned. She's feathery soft as she answers me.
I would probably melt.
Or maybe I will. I let go of her hand and turn her face to me. My eyes hook into hers, so open, so vulnerable, so damn ready. I run my thumb along her cheek and she shivers. Her lips part, and I want to crush her mouth to mine this second. But I want to draw out the anticipation even more. Because in her eyes I see so much want, so much desire, so much of everything I've craved from this girl. Everything I've seen flashes of in the last few weeks. I want her to feel all of it. To experience every second of this moment before I kiss her. But I can't wait any longer. I press my lips to hers, and the temperature in me soars. I kiss her soft and tender as I touch her face, my fingers exploring her. It's such a rush to kiss her in private with no one watching, to have her permission behind closed doors. It's a privilege to know this part of her, this side she rarely shows. The side of her where she lets me in, where she lets go. We fit so extraordinarily well, our lips eager and greedy. She's so soft and so hungry at the same time. Soon, this pace isn't enough, and I slide my tongue between her lips. She opens for me, and it's electric. Her tongue meeting mine, our breath mingling. We both moan at the same instant, because this is so fucking intense, so damn good. I kiss her harder, deeper, wetter. I suck that sexy bottom lip of hers between mine, and her hands shoot up and thread through my hair. She's not a hot mess at all. She's just hot and fevered, bursting with need. She's rough, too, as she curls her fingers around the back of my head and clutches me closer, like she can't get enough of kissing me. I can't get enough of her, either. Kissing has never been like this. It's never been this good, this intense. I'm drunk on her, intoxicated on her taste, her tongue, her mouth, her sweetness. Harper fucking loves being kissed. And she's right. She does melt. She melts into me, and that's where I want her, so far gone. Her warm, pliant body is like water in my arms, moving with me, gliding against my chest, pressing against every inch of my hard body. I can only imagine what it will be like to have my lips all over her, to explore every inch of her, to drive her wild with my tongue. She moans and I swallow that sound. She wriggles even closer, her breasts pushing against my chest, and her hands play with the hair on the back of my neck. At one point she kisses me so hard, she pushes my glasses against my nose. "Ow," I say softly, breaking the kiss.
"Sorry,"
she says. I separate from her, set my glasses on the nightstand, and return my attentions to Harper, running my fingers down her arms, making her shiver.
"I hardly ever see you without your glasses," she says softly as she studies me. Do I look like a different guy? She shakes her head, then takes my face in her hands, running her fingers over my beard. No. You look like you, and you look so good. And I love kissing you. Her voice is stripped bare and full of a beautiful lust that heats my skin all over, that burns in my bones. Her lips fuse to mine and that frenzied pace returns. This kiss ignites, picking up speed, racing to a whole other level. She makes the sexiest sounds as she moans and murmurs, completely consumed with the way we kiss. Her noises make me want her even more, and I didn't think it was possible to crave a person this much. But I do. I just fucking do. Her fingers brush across my stubble as we devour each other. I bring my hands to her hips, shifting her so she's on me, straddling me. I'm so lit up with her. I can feel her everywhere, and I want to do everything with her. I'm pretty sure she wants the same because she pushes against my hard-on, grinding into me through all these goddamn clothes we're both wearing. Too many stupid layers. I don't know where we're going tonight, how far or how fast, but I can't even think. I want to be in the moment with her. Every moment, including this one, where my hands find their way to the hem of her dress and I slide them under the fabric. I break the kiss. Stockings, I say, like a man hypnotized. You like stockings? I do, and you're killing me. My fingers travel up the back of her legs, and she rocks against me. I grow even harder as she thrusts, then harder still as I reach the top of the stockings. They're thigh highs, and I want to look at them, gawk at them, stare at them. But I'm not moving her off me. No chance of that. Not when she breathes this rapidly, each one coming faster than the next. Not as she grinds against my dick, and not as I move my hands to her delicious ass, sliding them over the sheer, lacy fabric. She cries out, and her face falls into my neck. She buries it there, moaning as I squeeze those luscious cheeks. Oh, God, she whispers, her voice strained as she rocks into me, her breathing wildly erratic. So you like this? I ask, rhetorically, as I grip her ass. I can tell she likes it. I can tell she loves it. So much. Her voice breaks, her pitch rises, and this moment crystallizes to its pure, wicked possibilities. I grab her skirt in the front, gather the material in a flash, and yank it up to her waist. She still straddles me, still riding, still thrusting against me. My hands return to her ass again, as if I'm steering her, moving her sweet, hot body against the outline of my rock-hard cock. It's just Harper and her wet panties rubbing on me. Ride me, princess, I whisper harshly in her ear. Ride me like that till you come. I'm rewarded with another, oh, God, as she moves faster, rocks harder, picks up the pace. She grabs my face, grips my jaw, and holds me as she dry humps me. Every single thing about her turns me on, her need, her want, her wild lust, her sounds, and this ass. It's spectacular, firm and so damn soft at the same time. I grip the flesh hard, how she likes it, and she lets out a sexy squeak. I fucking adore your ass, I say roughly. She moans something unintelligible. I dig my fingers inside the lace on her rear, guiding her moves, making her ride my erection faster and wilder. You're so close, aren't you? Yes, she cries out. Oh, God, Nick. Oh, my God. Those are the last words I can make out. The rest is just noise, pure carnal sound, as she rides me to the edge and then trembles, shaking as she comes on me. So hard. She comes so fucking hard on me, clothes on, the friction itself all she needed to get there. I lace my fingers in her hair, pride surging through my entire being as I take in the flush in her cheeks, the shuddering in her shoulders. I want to remember every detail of what it feels like to make her shatter this first time. Truth be told, I kind of want to draw a picture of her, too, because she looks amazingly beautiful like this. I want to make you come again. I want to hear you go wild and make you fall apart. I tell her, as she breathes hard, panting in my arms. She runs her fingers over my face and brushes her lips on mine. I want it all. After she comes down from her high, she blinks. Her blue eyes register surprise, as if it's just dawned on her what she did. Dry-humped me, which is completely awesome in my book, but in hers, I have no idea. I tense, waiting for Harper to slip into that armor she wears so well. Instead, she loops her arms around my neck. Okay, that's much better. Then she says, "There's something I want to tell you." Chapter 18. I've never been a huge fan of those words, so it's time for me to don my own trusty shield. I unsheathe the sword of humor and brandish it. You want me to strip naked and have your wicked way with me? She smiles and nods. I do. Well, I'll just keep up this tactic, since that particular weapon, if you know what I mean, is all the way up. Great, start here, I say, pointing to my belt. She laughs and then grips my shoulders, lowering her voice as if she's about to admit a secret. But seriously, I have a confession. As soon as I learned her name, I read J. Cameron's newest book. Sighing, I run a hand through my hair, unsure why we're back on this topic. You did? Her eyes dance with naughty delight. It's so delicious. It's so hot. And it made me curious, she continues. And maybe I don't mind her bringing up the ex at all right now. Not if those books get her turned on rather than ticked off. Hell, maybe I should gift her some. What did it make you curious about? Harper sits up straighter on me, as if she's about to make a big pronouncement. I know this may shock you, given how utterly cool you've seen I can be. But with getting my hair caught in a zipper and speaking in tongues, she says, then stage whispers, but I've never been tied to a fridge, or done it on a desk. And do you want that? That's the thing, she says, an excited undercurrent to her words. I only know what I like to look at, what I like to read about. I have an idea of what I might like, but... She lets her voice trail off. But what? I ask, because I'm dying to know what comes after that. She takes a breath, purses her lips together, then speaks. I was a virgin until I was 20. I've only had sex with two guys, and none of it was very memorable. None of it was on a counter or on the dryer or even in a hotel bed, she says, patting the mattress. Maybe it's the dark of the night. Maybe it's her. Maybe it's just that the only thing better than having hot sex with the woman you want is talking about hot sex with the woman you want. Or, just possibly, it's that she's opening up to me for real now. Perhaps that's why I open up to her. I was 20 the first time I had sex, I say, serving up a detail I don't share with many people, because it's personal. Instantly, her eyes widen. Are you serious? No, I'm lying, I say sarcastically. She pushes my shoulders, nearly toppling me on the bed. Stop it. I want to know the truth. I was a sophomore in college when I finally ditched the V-card. You were a late bloomer, she says softly, something like wonder in her voice. Girls were a complete mystery to me before then. I didn't know how to act around them or what to say. Sort of how you feel sometimes, too. I realized that maybe Harper and I aren't that different. I just got over my awkwardness around the opposite sex well before she did. She gives me a sweet smile. I guess we do have that in common, among many other things, she says. And my chest heats up as she inches closer. Was she a sophomore too? I shake my head and laugh. No. She was a grad student. She was the teaching assistant in my animation class. Her eyes turn into moons. Did she teach you everything you know? I reflect on her question, and the answer is a big no. But she started my education in women. She was instrumental in showing me the ropes and telling me every little thing that drove her crazy. I was a good student. I followed her directions, and it was the best damn class I ever took. Any guy who thinks he automatically knows how to please a woman is a conceited ass. Every woman is one of a kind. Every woman has her own titillations and turn-ons. From my teaching assistant, I learned the foundation. How to listen to a woman's cues, how to give her what she needs, how to make her want more and more. I don't say that to Harper. I liked the conversation better when it was about us. How would you feel if we stopped talking about other women? I ask, echoing her sentiment from the train on the ride here. I'd rather talk about what we just did and what other things I can do to you. She swallows and takes a breath. When I said touching your arms in Central Park was the most action I'd gotten in ages, I meant it. I haven't done that much. But I want to, Nick. I really want to. She says, her voice impossibly soft. I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I tuck my finger under her chin and lift her eyes to mine. You were amazing, Harper. You rode me like a champion equestrian. I loved every second of it. Wait, I loved every millisecond of it. I shake my head. Make that every nanosecond. She grins, then erases the smile from her face just as quickly. Riding you was easy, but beyond that, I want to know what feels good to you and what you want. And I want to know what I like. I can tell you what I think I like. My God, I love looking at dirty pictures and sexy pictures and naughty gifts, so I think I have a good idea. So you're not curled up at night with your deck of cards after all, I say, fixing on a look of overdone surprise as I touch her fingers. You're saying you've done a lot of one-handed computer work? That naughty grin returns in force, shining at full wattage. My web history is an homage to the hottest Tumblr feeds around, she confesses. I'm going to need to see that, as part of this whole dating lessons thing. I need to know exactly what you've been looking at, and to look at it with you. That's what I'm getting at. She stops to take a breath, then holds her chin high. That's why I kept asking you what you liked, and now I want to ask you something else, since you seem to like what we just did. And it clicks. It goes off like a starting gun. Teach you. You want me to teach you, I say, my voice raspy, full of want. Her eyes twinkle with naughtiness. I do. Her words echo back to another I do, one I heard earlier in the day. We're at her brother's wedding, and I'm messing around with my best friend's sister. For the briefest of moments, a streak of guilt flashes like a warning sign on the highway. Danger ahead. But hell, it's too fucking hard to think of anyone except her when she's with me. Truth be told, it's not easy the rest of the time either. It's like my desire for Harper hogs the remote control and flicks all the channels back to her. Besides, Spencer takes off for Hawaii tomorrow, and what he doesn't know won't hurt him, especially since Harper and I won't hurt each other. We know the score, and everyone in our game wins. I shake off any doubts. I drag my hand down her chest, palming one perfect tit. You want to kick our lessons up a notch and learn what feels good to you? Yes, she says, mirroring me as her fingers play along the front of my shirt. Damn, that feels fantastic. And what feels good to you? Let me think about it. I sigh heavily and stare at the ceiling, then back at her. I thought about it long and hard. Long and hard. It felt that way to me when I was riding you like a rodeo star. I give her an appreciative nod. Oh, it is long and hard, especially around you and that dirty little mouth of yours, I say, running my finger across her lips. She nips my finger. I have a dirty mind, too. I just want to put it to use now, in every way. You came to the right man, I tell her. And you came with the right man, and you will again, and again, and again. She shivers, then starts to unbutton my shirt. But I want you to come, too. Don't worry about me, and yes, obviously, I'll teach you anything. I can't say anything but yes to this girl. It's like an affliction, the amount of craving I have for Harper. Any doctor would tell you the only path to recovery is to take a full dose of medicine. In my case, that's her. Maybe I'll take several doses, just to be safe. A few lessons and I'll be cured, ready to return to us being buddies. I'll teach you anything you want to know, under one condition, I say, arching a brow. Her eyes widen. What would that be? I clear my throat and adopt a teacherly tone. I'm going to need your full commitment to the lesson plan for the next week, I say, laying it on thick with the seriousness. Can you agree to that, Miss Harper? She nods earnestly, sliding into her role in this impromptu game. I'm a very good student. What else do you need, Professor Hammer? I smile approvingly when she bestows a nickname on me. Proper focus, diligent homework, thorough preparation, and the willingness to be spanked if you deviate from the lesson plan. She moves in closer, loops her arms around me, and says in a deliciously naughty good girl voice, You can spank me even if I don't deviate from the lesson plan. Oh, holy hell. Harper Holliday is going to be a star pupil in my school of hot, filthy sex. I'm giving you an A+ so far, I say in my studious voice. And I fully expect you to earn gold stars in my intensive course for the next week. She pulls back and speaks as herself. But it'll only take a week? I nibble on her neck. When the cat's away, I whisper, hoping my meaning is clear. I speak in my own voice, so we're both on the same page. It's just easier for us to do this for the next week, right? Of course, she says quickly. Makes perfect sense, Professor Hammer. Does this mean you'll hammer me? She laughs and I crack up too, because, at last, the innuendo of my surname is being used with the right woman. That's a guarantee. In fact, I think we should start your coursework right now, and I have a very particular lesson in mind. What is it? She asks, a little breathless, a lot eager. I lean in close to her and rub my beard against her cheek. I want to strip you naked so I can taste every inch of your skin. I want to spread your legs and make you come on my lips, I say, as I bring her hand to my jaw and finish the thought. And all over my face. She gasps, and her thighs clench against my legs. Now, she says, like a desperate order. My fingers return to the zipper on her back. A new round of lust pounds through me as I slide it down, undressing her for the first time. But I only get a few inches when a loud trill sounds from the bed. Shoot, she mutters, and reaches for her phone on the mattress. Let me just see who that is at 2 a.m. She slides her thumb across the screen, falls to the bed, and throws her arm on her forehead, muttering, Jen. She thrusts the phone at me. A text message flashes.
Everyone left. I think I'm going to be sick. Worshipping porcelain, God help.
I roll to my side, frustration thick in my veins. Go take care of your friend, I say, even though I'm thinking Jen is winning the gold medal for cock blocking. But tomorrow, Harper, your first lesson is turning off your phone. Then you're getting a full serving of multiple orgasms. Is that clear? Harper grabs the collar of my shirt, pulls me close, and says, Yes. Then she gives me the hottest goodnight kiss ever. I jerk off when she leaves, obviously. Chapter 19. On the train the next afternoon, she steals glances at me. Family surrounds us. My parents, Harper's parents, her very hungover, cock-blocking friend Jen, and my siblings are spread out in the first few rows of the car. Harper sits by the window next to her sister, and I'm in the seat that directly faces her. It kills me to be this close. I spread the Sunday paper over my lap, grateful that the crossword puzzle serves twin purposes today. Distraction and cover-up. I fill in a clue and then sneak a peek at the hot redhead I intend to fuck in so many ways. Her head is bent over her e-reader, and she nibbles the corner of her lips as we roll along the Connecticut coast. A swath of her hair falls over her forehead, obscuring the side of her face. Briefly, she looks up at me, and her eyes are hazy with lust. Her gaze sends a charge through me, and I adjust the paper more over my thighs. I don't dare text her now because I don't know who'd peer over her shoulder and see my words. Probably Wyatt, and I might as well hire a skywriter if that happened. My sister types on her phone, and Wyatt leans over the armrest, chatting with my dad across the aisle. My mom talks to Harper's mom in the row behind us, discussing when the first holiday grandchild